Live in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, Yinzers, Yinzerettes, and everybody else who happens to be watching the show today, too. Kabali and Mac, presented by our friends at the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, the key to your next door. You're looking for a home in Western PA. Buy, sell, just need to move. Get away from your crazy neighbor. Find a better one. Maybe you want to move into Kabali's neighborhood. I don't know. There's a house for sale like three doors up. Whatever. Hey, don't shake your head at that.
What? Yeah, at least, you know, maybe if I get a good neighbor, they can help me move some furniture.
Well, no, hold on. One second here. HeckTeamHomes.com. H-A-E-C-K, TeamHomes.com. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team waiting to help you move anywhere in Western PA, maybe even Belle Vernon. And then you could get a fancy mug like Kaboom just showed off on the stream. There's a lot going on today. For someone like Kabali, it's the big night out tonight down at PPG Paints Arena. I heard he finally secured entry into the building without having to beg and plead with Phil, the guy who would be the guy to beg and plead with.
Phil did offer, so I'm not going to throw Phil under the bus.
So Phil offered and you didn't take him up on it. Why would you do that? That's disrespectful. Phil, if there's still a pair and Kabali's not going to use them, I'll take them. But here nor there.
You know what? Somebody messaged me on Twitter and said they have two freebies if you wanted.
Two freebies, really?
He said my kid was on his baseball team. That's how much I pay attention.
Good job. Good job by you, Payne. That's that tireless reporter ethic of getting all the little details right, Kaboom. I don't know. Guy said his kid was on my kid's baseball team. I don't know. Good job, buddy. I didn't come over and help you move that credenza last night because I didn't think you seriously needed help when you said that you were going to just have your wife do it with you. I was like, oh, it's a little piece of furniture. If he's going to ask his wife to do it, he'll be fine. And then later I find out that you nearly ruptured both Achilles again.
Oh, it was not good. This thing had to weigh 300 pounds, right? I go to the Levin Furniture and they throw it into the back seat. And obviously, as soon as I walk in there, the guys start saying, I know you. Then all of a sudden, here comes three other people asking me about Aaron Rodgers and George Pickens, but that's beside the point. And I get it home and I get it out of the car, but it's still in the box, but I got to move it into the living room. And I took it out of the box. I'm like, wow, this is heavy. So I'm carrying it with the wife. I'm backing up. And little did I know that I was ending the near the end of the sidewalk before I turn into my house. And I stepped off of the concrete onto the bed of whatever, mulch. And it was like, and it was like a pause. I'm like, oh, no, this does not feel right. Then it was just, it held up. Just a little stretch.
So you're good. Maybe it was like PT. I told you that last night. Maybe it was a good healthy stretch for the Achilles.
It was one of those things like, oh my.
You think?
I said, oh shit. I said, I think I tore my Achilles. My wife's like, you're not serious. I'm like, I don't know. No, but it worked out. That thing is a ton. I got to go back today and get a smaller piece. Man, that place is tremendous. Maybe Levin wants a sponsor. You go to Levin, you go to that clearance place, and they throw all their either floor models or stuff that they were trying to get rid of, and they're like 80%. Mine was brand new in the box. I had to rip everything out of the box. 80% off. You just have to pick it up yourself. And
always the bargain shopper.
Yes, absolutely. They know me by name now there. I walk in like every 2 weeks.
It's like Norm walking into Cheers.
Yeah, just to check it out. Just to check out what's new on the I just gave somebody like free advertising, but whatever.
It's okay. Hey, we'll do that every once in a while. You know, we'll help the people out in the neighborhood.
Are we absolutely burying the lead here, by the way?
Yeah, a huge guest at 11 o'clock or a couple minutes before 11. Is that the lead? Is that what you're talking about?
We shouldn't let the guys wait, right?
Should we tell everybody? Some people already have an idea, I think.
I saw Joey Porter. Uh-oh. That goddamn pony burner.
Brian Garrett. Well, I kind of dropped a hint in the YouTube chat there.
I looked at the hat. That's the hint.
Well, because our guy Phil said I can't wear my Penn State hat if I come to the show tonight.
Yeah.
To where I said, gotta wear it for the guest, Phil. And Brian Garrett, smarty pants that he is. Well, I don't know. Do we give him full credit since he spelled it wrong?
It is the wonderful Pat Freiermuth.
Pat Freiermuth at 11 o'clock.
Unless he blows us off, but I don't think he will.
What's that?
Unless he blows us off.
I don't think he will. He's been very responsive. Maybe because it's, you know, downtime. But this is the one day a week where he had a morning available. We were going to do it last Wednesday, but you screwed it all up because you were on a plane all day.
I'm sure he just wants to come in and just roast me, so. We'll get that out right away. When he comes on, I'll say, Pat, the floor is yours. Go. Not just take it. Then we can move on.
I will point out, for those that remember last week, when I reminded Pat that he was supposed to be on the show, his response was, still works for me. Hopefully, Kabali doesn't fall asleep during it. LOL. Shots fired.
The funny thing is I get that so many times, and I wouldn't be upset, but it wasn't the truth. If you're saying, you know,
your ass is still chapped about this.
And I got a hoagie in my pocket. I can accept that. This is not the truth. I wasn't sleeping. I was just sitting there.
Do you understand that everyone I have talked to, and I do stuff for the BetMGM network a couple times a week. Everybody nationally that I talked to in the past week, that's the first thing they asked me. Hey, is your podcast buddy, Kabali, is he okay? And I'm like, yeah, he's fine. I have to defend you now.
Yes, I wasn't sleeping. I was taking a video, and we went over this. I was taking the video, and I was trying to think what question I could ask him that wasn't asked the 25 minutes the day before we had him and the 15 minutes that we already had him there. I'm thinking, oh, what we should do? And you know, I got some AP photos I was looking at. I came across, and I was wide awake there.
Well, yeah, you just dozed for a second, right? You did the head nod thing? No.
Relax. The problem is this. If I continue to people feel that I am upset that they're doing this, they're just going to keep doing it.
You know. That's the thing. Yeah. Every time you feed into it, it gives people reason to continue to mention it. So just let it, like water off a duck's back. Is that the saying, right? Just let it roll off your back. You got to let it slide.
I think people are trying to be funny, but after 150,000 times.
You got tired of it.
Not to get funny, but.
I get it.
I can't believe you're doing the Penn State hat. Don't even tell me it's for the Frozen Four either.
It's a little bit of both.
Ass kisser.
He's coming on the show either way, whether I wear the hat or not. I just figured, you know, my Penn State brethren, the least I could do is welcome him into the show with, you know, a little gear.
Hey, big guest on Friday.
That's right.
Maybe not as big as, depending. I'm not giving any hints there. And
no more hints?
Big one. Huge one.
Huge.
And, we're working on a WWE guest for heading up to WrestleMania.
Next week already.
See what my boy Steve Brabant can bring to me.
I have
all the faith in him.
A lot going on. If you're looking to get in on the podcast, you can always, you know, go to the Twitter account, Kabali and Mac. Shoot us an email there. You can get involved like all of our sponsors have, including the fantastic Southwest Greens. You want your yard to be the best looking yard in the neighborhood, right? But you don't want to have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars taking care of it every single year, whether it's watering, whether it's the stuff you got to spray on it, the fertilizer, all of the stuff that goes into it. And then all the mowing and maintenance and everything else, the people to get a hold of, Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com is where you go. Tell Jake the Kabali and Mac sent you, and then they'll get out there. They'll tell you exactly what they can do for your home, whether it's just a little patch in the corner of the yard, whether it's the whole backyard, front and backyard. They're going to do it. They're going to do it right, and they're going to make it look fantastic. You're going to be able to use it just like you use a real lawn, but you won't have to spend all the time and money on maintenance because it's a beautiful artificial surface that looks real. Most importantly, like I said, looks and functions like the best yard in the neighborhood. Go to Southwest Greens, PA. kabali-mac.com. And thanks to them for supporting Kabali and Mac. All right. Story of the day. Before we get to something you tweeted out this morning, don't worry. What you tweeted out this morning is an interesting talking point. It wasn't anything weird or untoward or out of pocket. Story of the day has to be something that popped up over the last few weeks and months and kind of just flew under the radar, right? It flew under the radar until our guy Chris Hoffman from KDKA went to work.
It is developing a new display for the messages and names. While nothing is set in stone yet, the Pirates say what they want to do is something like this, the walls behind the Maz statue, a more vertical display to prevent the challenges that come when you engrave stuff into a sidewalk.
It's interesting, I guess. I would like to see it or some rendition of it.
Fans are mad the situation was treated with the transparency of a brick and not having the chance to get their memories before they get crushed.
For a lot of folks, they have literally removed people's memorials to their deceased family members. That's terrible.
The team hopes to unveil their new design later this season. Chris Hoffman, KDKA TV News.
So thanks to newsman Chris Hoffman, and KDKA, CBS Pittsburgh, for that story. The story of the Bucko Bricks, kaboom. If there was any way possible to look like an organization cared less about its what fraying threads of connection they have to their most diehard loyal fans, it would be hard to write a script for how it could be any worse than it has been over the last 5 days for the Pittsburgh Pirates. From the Clemente sign being taken down for a Surfside ad to the Bucko Bricks being thrown away basically without telling a single person about it until they were called out on it. To the owner continuing his dog and pony show, as he does every single day, but did on the day of the home opener as well, telling everybody that they're laser focused on winning and there's not much more they can do. This is just, I mean, the evil owner in Major League was more in touch with her fans.
Be careful.
What?
Some people might reach out to you, not like that tweet.
I know there's people in the organization that didn't like that tweet. I know for a fact. And you know what? They
stick it.
Well, those people, I understand the position they're in, right? They work for the team. It's their job to do their best to mitigate what have been some atrocious mistakes by their bosses, to be quite honest. That's what it boils down to. The people in charge of this organization right now, whether it's Bob Nutting, Travis Williams, whoever else have made the decisions on things like the Clemente Memorial being exchanged for a Surfside ad or the Bucko Bricks or a million other things that have gone wrong, but those two are the big tent poles in the last week. Those are the people that should be getting called on the carpet right now. I can't possibly imagine. The bricks were the thing that kind of sent it over the edge because these are people that when the ballpark opened, handed you money so that there would be, in many cases, a memorial to someone they loved there at the ballpark forever. And yeah, you're telling us now they've been replaced a couple times because, well, maintenance. But you never just out and out threw them away without telling people what your plans were going to be going forward.
Easily avoidable issue. You just say, hey, these aren't working here. We have a different plan for it. We're going to remove them, but we'll have this in plan. Boom. Nobody says a word here. And I don't recall them being replaced multiple times. Maybe they were. I don't know. But I'm just thinking here out loud here. The PR staff or whoever is running the organization is taking the brunt of this. But maybe they're just following orders. Hey, don't say anything about this. We're just going to do this. Maybe it is come from Bob Nutting. So I hate to sit there and just say these PR people are incompetent. They don't know what they're doing. La, 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 la. When it might be over their head of how to do this, how to approach this.
I think you're exactly right. I don't think it's on, you know, a lot of people have said, oh, this is a PR nightmare with multiple things that have happened in the last week. And they're right. It's a nightmare for the PR people because then they've got to manage things like people they know sending out tweets like the one I did last night about, you know, comparing Bob Nutting and the Pittsburgh Pirates to the evil owner in Major League, and they get upset because they got to combat that, right? It's their job to combat that. But it's not on the PR people. It's on the people in charge. Like I said, it's on Nutting. It's on Williams. It's on the people that decide to do this stuff without telling anybody what they're doing, whether it's telling the Clemente family, hey, we just wanted you to be aware. That sign that's been up there for 5 years, we're going to move it. We're going to relocate it. We're going to do something because we got a pretty good advertising opportunity. And, you know, we'd like to make a couple extra bucks if we can. That's the key. Or that's always the key.
That's the key here of all this. Go ahead.
Or telling people, again, who donated their money when the ballpark was built. And I don't think people, especially younger people, remember what a task it was to get this ballpark built, right? Nobody was excited about the idea of taxpayer money. And I'm not going to get into politics, but our tax money, especially if you live in the city or the county, going to build another ballpark, two, in fact, within a year of each other, right? But we were like, hey, we want a nicer place for the Steelers, and we don't want the Pirates to leave. That's how much people were willing to support it, and people did. And then other people went in even more so by buying these bricks to memorialize, in a lot of cases, loved ones who weren't around anymore. I don't know if you read John Parado's story this morning. It's literally a remembrance of his dad, who passed away before PNC Park was even built. And they take those things. It's like the assholes that go to a graveyard and kick over gravestones. It's the equivalent of that.
I mean, I think obviously it was not dealt right. All you have to do is send out an email, call the news, whatever, and people would understand. But the concept or the belief that it has to do with money, they don't want to do that there because they have to replace it, which might cost them money. That's what the typical fan sees now. They moved the Clemente number because of why? Because they can get money from it. So they don't add pieces to the ball club because it costs too much money. So I think that's what it is. And the worst, I guess maybe it's the best thing that happened here was for Paul Skeens, because he went outside. He went out there and laid an egg last night, probably his worst performance of his career, and nobody really cared because all they care about right now is to bucko bricks. But what time is it? It's about 11 o'clock or whatever.
Almost.
They screwed up yet today?
Not yet. Give it time.
Just to see that in a dump pile. And Joe Rutter, who's a longtime Pirates scribe, does Steelers now. His dad, who passed away a couple years ago, purchased one for him there. And he always said he would go up and, you know, see it before he goes to games. And all of a sudden, it's gone. And it's in a dumpster. It's in a dumpster. Just to be recycled. They probably sold it to the recycling places for money.
So that's the thing. Like, at the very least, you send out an email to everybody, a letter, whatever, however you get a hold of them. You send out something to everybody that says, hey, we thank you so much for contributing to the building of PNC Park 25 years ago. Your bucko brick, which has been maintained over the years and replaced once or twice, is now going to be relocated to a different memorial or, you know, whatever. If you'd like to have your bucko brick, which you rightfully purchased, we will have it stored at PNC Park. We can ship it to you. You can pick it up, whatever it may be. Because again, you're talking about memorial. Like, you're talking about Rutter. I mentioned Parado. I had at least a few people jump into my replies when I tweeted it out yesterday who said, no, I put my dad's name on there because he wasn't around to see the ballpark. And he wasn't around to see the wild card games, but it felt like he was there because his name was on a brick in the sidewalk outside. That means something to people. And it's just completely and utterly tone deaf. And if it were the only thing that had gone wrong and this team were 8-0 to start the season and they'd gone out and spent $175 million on payroll to try and do everything they could to surround Skeens with a winner and all this other stuff, it'd be, okay, you guys screwed up, but we'll grant everybody makes mistakes. But no, none of that stuff happened. And you got the Clemente thing with the Surfside ad, and you've now got the Bucko bricks on top of it. It's just, it's a mountain of crap around the Pirates right now. And yeah, and then Skeens goes out last night, and for some reason the Cardinals are his kryptonite. It's the one team he doesn't pitch well against.
Yeah, it's not a good week. It's not a good week, and I don't blame the players. I mean, honestly, you can't blame the players on, well, of course, the Bucko Bricks, but what they have to deal with out there right now. It's just the Bucko Bricks are just, I mean, they people paid good money for that. And that was 25 years ago?
25 years ago, yeah.
150 bucks potentially for a brick 25 years ago. And with inflation to nowadays and how many bricks they sold, that's like stealing money.
It's just dumb. It's just dumb.
No, they'll probably will make it right. You know, if they don't want to put it on the ground, I can understand it. Find a wall. That's great. Call it the Clemente Wall, whatever it is. Make it and put them both in there and make a nice little area for that to be. But all you had to do was say, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, and they didn't.
They were going to get away with it. That's what it is.
I can't imagine being that tone deaf. It's just, and not just being more open and honest with your fans. Your most loyal fans.
Well, do you think this was a reaction to people finding out, oh, we're doing something, don't worry about it, or they had no intention on doing anything?
What else are we left to believe? You know, if you don't tell people ahead of time, what else are people left to believe but you intended to never tell them about the bricks? Right? I mean, if Chris Hoffman from KDKA doesn't go out and do the story, nobody ever finds out, right? If people don't start to wonder where all the bricks went and ask questions, nobody ever finds out.
And obviously, some disgruntled fan sent him a screenshot or at least a video or a picture of that. I mean, that seemed like that was inside of a – I mean, how do you know that unless somebody tells you? And, hey, look what I found in where was that at? Reserve Township dumpster. I brought them there, this garbage team. That's probably what happened.
Yeah. Imagine being the guy driving the dumpster who has a pickup at PNC Park, and you go and you back up and they load the thing on your truck and you're driving out to the dump and you go to offload it, drop it into a ditch or whatever that you do when you dump things. And you're like, oh, bricks. Is there writing? There's writing on those bricks. What's? And you walk over and you look. You're like, holy shit. That's the brick I bought for my grandpa when they opened PNC Park.
Yeah, I guess they couldn't have. It would have been hard for them to tell people. You know, how you get those bricks up, they're probably broken. So, you know, they probably couldn't have offered them to the people. Say, hey, come get your bricks.
They could have. People would have taken broken bricks. Or at the very least, they could have said, you know what? I get it was damaged. As long as you're replacing it, fine. You know what I mean? Just there was no open communication about the process, which is the exact same damn thing Roberto Clemente Jr. said 3 days ago. There was no open communication about the process of replacing the 21 on the wall, the big 21 that had been there for 5 years, with a Surfside ad. You want to put a Surfside ad up on the wall? Fine, be my guest. But don't replace the 21 logo without telling anybody about it. Least of all, the Clemente family.
Yeah, it's just a disaster. And who knew that 40 years of losing, and now people are upset and is to the boiling point because of a Bucko brick and a number on a wall.
Yeah, well,
I was more upset about the 40 years of losing, or the 35 out of 40 years of losing,
and the lack of action.
45 now, my fault.
Yeah. All right.
If this takes it down, it takes it down.
It's a disaster. So we'll get to Pat Freiermuth in a couple minutes. He's going to check in, I would imagine, shortly. When he does, as soon as he pops in, we'll bring him in and we'll talk to Pat, who is the big mystery guest today, Steelers tight end Pat Freiermuth. We appreciate him taking the time to jump in here in a minute and make sure that Kabali is still awake. I'm sure that'll be his first joke. And I hope you've had plenty of time to prepare for that, Mark. So I'd hope you have a good response, right?
I'll be like, who's the...
I'd hope your response to Pat when he tries to burn you for the whole falling asleep next to Tomlin gate is better than Charlotte Flair's response to Tiffany Stratton during that promo on Friday night.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to say he's in my DMs. I'm good. You know, I do got a good one. Should I try it out on you or not?
Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
He's going to say, oh, are you sleeping? I'm like, just about as much as sleeping if Drew Aller's pass in the semifinal game or something like that.
You didn't workshop that at all. You didn't even think of that before.
I just thought of it for a second. Was that a pick, right? against Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's a. But I mean, you.
I don't want to get him on the Penn State.
Better job there. You look.
I just thought of it. I don't know.
No shit, really.
I was just going to let him
been working on that for weeks.
I was just going to let him just take his shots and move on.
Okay, that's fair too. I thought maybe you'd want to get one in back. You know, a little dart right back somehow.
I mean, I can't go the Paterno route.
Jesus, no.
Mark. Exactly. I mean, that's the ultimate zing.
You don't have to. You don't have to go from 0 to 60, pal. All you gotta do is you could throw a dart back about losing to Notre Dame if you want, but like, Jesus, you gotta go there. He's not gonna come on now. He's probably watching right now. He's like, screw Cabali if he's gonna go that route. And I wouldn't blame him.
You Penn Staters.
I look, I'm not sensitive to it, but
I'll just take it. I don't care.
Okay, fine. Just take it. You said something this morning, and we'll see how much time we have to talk about this before Pat jumps in. But your tweet this morning, top three quarterbacks in the draft going to be gone way before the Steelers are on the clock at 21, yet we're trying to convince ourselves they're going to fall to the Steelers. Sorry, don't see it. You really don't think one of those three is going to be there at 21?
No, I don't think at all. I mean, now we're seeing Shador Sanders going. Where is he going? To Cleveland? He's going to Oakland. I don't know if he's going to Cleveland. He's going to Oakland. I'm telling you, once you get into that draft, these teams get very, very nervous. And I don't care if they have a quarterback. I don't care if they got Geno Smith. I don't care if they got Kyler Murray. If they like a guy, they're going to take him. And those three guys will be gone way before the Steelers have any opportunity to even think about moving up, let alone them falling to them. So we're sitting here saying, this guy's coming in, this guy's coming in. Great. But, you know, there's a reason why, you know, I happened to watch draft day last night. And it was fascinating to me. Oh, even though
do you have to watch that every year around this time?
Yeah, it was on Netflix. It was like 1 in the morning. And I was fascinated by the inaccuracies or the incompetence of the Browns, even in a movie, that Sonny Weaver did no homework on Bo Callahan until the day of the draft and said, oh, we had got the number one pick. Let's go figure out who this Bo Callahan is. So Omar Khan and gang doesn't want to do that, so they're going to do their due diligence on everybody just in case. And they didn't take Bo Callahan.
You know what draft day is? Draft day is a really good in-flight movie.
It's
because you can doze off and you wake up and you're like, okay, I didn't miss anything important. Just Dennis Leary being a prick and Kevin Costner being unprepared and Jennifer Garner occasionally looking hot, right? And you fall back to sleep for a couple more minutes and you wake up and they're like, oh, please return your tray tables to their upright position and shut off all your wireless devices. And you go, okay, cool. I didn't miss anything. Kevin Costner screwed up the draft for the Browns. Sounds like a Brown story. And you move on with your day. Perfect in-flight movie.
And another one was the owner met him at, I guess it was Cedar Point. I don't know. He met Sonny Weaver, the GM, literally 12 hours before the draft. So what's our plan for this year? It's like, shouldn't the owner?
Shouldn't you know what's going on? And why'd they drive all the way to Sandusky for their meeting in a parking lot?
I don't know. I'm guessing they were in a amusement park. So the movie's just, it's one of those terrible movies, but you tend to watch them.
Like I said, a perfect in-flight movie.
There's so many inaccuracies.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Guy who just took a pretty long flight a few weeks ago over to Ireland and back joins us now. There is the man himself, Pat Freiermuth, joining us here on Cabali and Mac. Morning, Pat, my man.
Morning, guys. Thanks
for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, Cabali, did you get a good night's sleep, Cabali, or are you going to fall asleep?
I'm just letting you go. Go. I'll take it.
I'm good. That's all I had to say. No.
Just the one? You just want the one free shot?
I might come up later, but just the one free shot right now. You know you're going to go viral?
Viral? I wasn't sleeping.
That's hilarious. That was funny. I opened Twitter, I saw it. I was dying laughing.
Did you like forward it to some people? I'm like, look at this,
Jamal. I didn't. No, I was just laughing to myself.
I wasn't sleeping. I mean, you know who? You know, Rudolph messaged me and said, "You okay, buddy?" I'm like, "I'm fine. I wasn't sleeping."
Were you breathing loud? Is that why Coach T gave you the look?
He gave me the look because, I don't know, he was sweating like a monster.
Hey, don't deflect the blame now.
Yeah.
I was not sleeping. I mean, you've been in meetings with the coach.
So yeah.
You zone out.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
you're not. Look at how he tries to catch you in something, Pat. Sometimes you zone out when Coach D's talking, right?
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
That backhanded.
You ready for the show tonight, Mark, or what?
Oh, are you going?
Yeah, we'll be there. Me and Christian Kuntz, we're pulling up.
Oh, nice. Kuntz.
Yes.
He's another star.
He's a stud. He's a stud.
So, you in town right now, Pat, or are you working out at home? What's going on?
No, I came back into town 2 weeks ago with Jill, and we've just been here and been training the facility. So, it's been good. It's been good to be back in Pittsburgh and be around some of the guys, and it's been good.
How was the trip to Ireland, man? Because I told you via text that the Guinness is supposed to hit different over there. What else was different about Ireland over there? Are they really football crazy?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, obviously, like you said, the Guinness was unbelievable. Like I always say, like here in like the U.S., like I can only have like two or three, and I'm like, it's too heavy. But over there, like you can have a lot, which is good. But it was good. It was the people were great. They definitely had a lot of people were already repping Steelers gear. It was cool to see like the city. They already had posters for the college football game, our game. So it was cool to see them kind of embrace American football, and you know, they have an American football league themselves there. So it was good.
And that's where you found out you traded for DK, right?
Yeah. I had a few, and that's why I posted that on my story, but I woke up in the morning like, damn, but you know, it is what it is. It was good.
Have you talked to him yet?
Yeah, we talked a little bit, we texted back and forth, just some questions about Pittsburgh and, just excited to get to play with him. Obviously, he's been a top receiver in this league for a couple of years now, and adding him into the offense is gonna help me a lot. It's gonna help GP a lot. It's gonna help the quarterback. So it's gonna be good.
Well, you know the big elephant in the room.
Yeah,
not me. Who's gonna be your quarter? Who's you gonna be your quarterback, Pat? Tell us. Nobody's watching, so you could just
whisper. Oh man, I don't know. Well, I trust Coach T. I trust Omar. I trust the front office. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to get past that hump of not just making the playoffs, but finding some success. We have all the belief in, as guys on the team, we have all the belief in Mason. He made some big plays when he was here last, winning three straight to make it to the playoffs. And whatever happens. But, we'll see. Maybe the rumor is tonight that someone's announcing, but who knows?
No.
That's for you. You work for the show.
Well, you're going to be there.
Yeah, I have nothing. I have no clue about that.
And you're a wrestling guy, and it's going to be produced by WWE. It's just all coming together. I can see the headlines now. Pat Freiermuth says Aaron Rodgers will sign tonight at the McAfee Center.
I did not say that. Never said that.
Again, no, with the backhanded, dirty journalism from Kabali.
You have to be very, very clear. I don't know anything, but then they cut that part out. So.
Yeah.
No, I'm all for Pat. I said this. Adam Pearce walks out with the black, folio with the papers inside, slams it down on the table with a pen, and Rogers signs right there, and they hand it to Omar, and he signs, and the place goes
hilarious.
Wild. Big pop.
That'd be hilarious. That'd be awesome. That'd be hilarious. That'd be
you
awesome.
You made news a couple weeks ago when you said you DM'd him on Instagram.
Yeah, I was in Ireland again and had a few and just said, I'll DM him. I DM'd him. He actually got back relatively fast, and it was cool just to go back and forth with him for a little bit, get to know him a little bit. He had some questions and, it was cool. I haven't talked to him since, but, obviously has a decision to make and, definitely going to respect his process and whatever he sees is fit best, but yeah.
I was curious real quick, Chris, if you talk to other guys that have played with him, cause there seems to be like some thought that he might not be a good teammate, but I don't really see that anywhere. Have you reached out and said, hey, how's this guy like? in the locker room at all?
Yeah, not really. You know, I kind of just like to form opinions based off people and myself, but I've heard that he's a really good teammate. So, you know, I think he would fit our locker room great. You know, we got a lot of, you know, really respected guys in our locker room. We have a great culture in our locker room. So it's, I think he'll fit in just fine.
What do you think about a guy like that? Like, what, I mean, because you were around at the end of Ben's career, right? So you have an idea of what an established leader like that can do for a team. And it's not, this is not to take anything away from Russ or Justin or any, or Mason, even anybody, but like, what do you think that can add to a team? Literally when you're in the midst of the game and there's a guy out there who's been through it a million times and is able to sort of command the presence on the field, in the huddle, at the line, that really only comes with being a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Just like you said, yeah, he's seen it all. You know, there's not a defensive look, different defensive coverage you know, that he hasn't seen. And so I think, you know, obviously it was similar with Russ too. Like, he's seen a lot of looks too. And so just playing with guys that have been there and done that is really fun, just because, you know, they see the game in a different perspective. And it's just cool to see how different guys, you know, see the game. And it's cool for me to kind of like learn that and learn different avenues of the game of football. You know, I've been blessed so far to play with Ben, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and play with Russ for a year, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So it's been cool to see and learn from guys like that to, you know, to add stuff in my game and kind of see what they see.
What were your thoughts on Arthur Smith first year in? Very tight end friendly offensive coordinator. Do you expect that to pick up a little bit more this year? And what type of guy is he, and just a guy that can be able to express to what he wants from his offense?
Yeah, I love Art. Me and Art have a great relationship. You know, he's a guy's guy. You know, he's a great guy to be around every single day in the office, and you know work with and understand, you know, his knowledge of the game. It's been really cool to see and just hear about his stories and experiences throughout the league and how he got into coaching and stuff like that. And, you know, really respect him a lot. You know, I love playing his offense. You know, he moves me around a bunch. You know, I'm excited for this year. We've already started talking about some things moving forward and stuff. And so he's just a good guy to talk football with and get to play for. And the coolest thing is just like, he holds everyone accountable, regardless of, you know, contract status or age or anything like that. Like, he's holding everyone to a standard, and he's not afraid to call guys out in meetings. So it's kind of similar with Coach T. So it's like everything's aligned. So it's been great.
Bless you. Bless you. Can I hit him up for a loan if you want?
Facts. Facts.
what do you think it was down the stretch, Pat, that kind of led to some of the issues? Was it just the fact that you guys were playing some of the best teams in the league?
I think there's a bunch of things that went into it. I mean, I think obviously, you know, we played four teams at the end of the year that were one of the last four teams standing. You know what I mean? So, you know, they're great talent. That's obviously not an excuse. You know, we expect a standard to uphold ourselves. But for whatever reason, you know, the ball wasn't bouncing our way, and we just weren't executing at a high level enough against teams that, you know, made it far in the playoffs. So anytime you go against teams like that, especially at the end of the season, you want to be playing your best ball, and we weren't. So it takes a lot of the guys in the locker room that's coming back to reflect on that and learn from that. You know, there's no point of dwelling as to what happened. You know, it sucks. I mean, it left a sour taste in my mouth. So, you know, I've been going crazy this offseason as a bunch of guys. And so, you know, we're motivated. You know, we're expecting a lot this year. And, we just got to get back on track.
How much did the 3 games in 11 days, did that? I know some people like to make more of that. Some people like to make less of it. But that, especially towards the end of the year when you're grinding and your body's beat up, did that have any kind of effect?
I mean, it didn't. I mean, everyone's tired at that point of the season. It is what it is. I mean, obviously it was tough, but, you know, not really an excuse to win or lose a game. You know, I think I forget what team did the same. I think maybe the Chiefs or Ravens or something, and they were undefeated during it. So it clearly didn't have an issue with them. So I don't think it was anything like that. I just think we just weren't executing at a high level.
People have the theory that Aaron's going to sign tonight at big night out, right? Yeah. Some people still have the theory that George Pickens is going to get traded. Have you been able to talk to George? And what do you think a combination of DK and George means to this team moving forward?
Yeah, I've talked to GP a decent amount this offseason. You know, GP's a great guy. I mean, he's good to have in the locker room. Obviously, stuff happens on the field, but that's just part of the playing football and being a competitor. You know, he cares. He tries a lot. He works hard. So, you know, he's a hell of a talent as well. And so having him and GP, I mean, having him and DK on the outside, obviously with me in the middle of the field, like it's going to cause defense a lot of conflict. And so that's what I'm excited about. You know, I know GP's ready to work with DK and, you know, GP's never shy of competition. So he's going to, you know, rely on DK for his advice and stuff like that. But GP's ready to roll for sure.
I know you were close with Najee, Pat. What were your conversations like with him over the off season?
Oh yeah, I mean, he kept me in the loop a lot. You know, when stuff was happening in the free agency and stuff like that, you know, I was just happy that he was able to go to a situation, you know, closer to home and play for, you know, Coach Harbaugh and stuff like that. I'm happy for him. We definitely talked after his interviews and stuff like that. So, man, it's all good. I mean, you know, he has his opinions. I can't say that I agree, but, you know, we're best friends. And, you know, I'm super excited for him and his opportunity coming forward.
Did Jill send him one of her spiced pumpkin cakes as a housewarming
gift?
That up so bad. Was she mad that he called it a banana cake or whatever?
She wasn't mad. She was mad. She was laughing, but she got a couple DMs like I can't believe you gave food poisoning to a running back or whatever. It wasn't like that, but it was all funny, man. He came over all the time for food and stuff like that. So, you know, Jill's a hell of a cook. So she whipped it up for us.
Yeah. I expect the invite to come later on for this.
Oh yeah. It's, you'll get it soon. Yeah.
Just no turkey. I heard that puts you to sleep.
It would be nice if you guys could play the Chargers on Thanksgiving. He could come in and he could get some more of the spice cake.
Exactly.
So I got to ask you, the draft is just a couple weeks away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a ton of great Penn State play. Mark's mad at me because I wore the Penn State hat.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
We are, baby. And so there's
you are a hockey town team.
We play tonight, right?
What's today? Wednesday?
Tomorrow. Friday. Okay.
Friday, I think. Tomorrow or Friday. Either way, we'll be watching.
No, I won't.
We will. I said we, Mark. You'll be asleep. So, yeah, you probably will. What do you think about Abdul? Tyler, there's a few other draft eligible guys. Were you up there for Pro Day? I thought I saw.
Yeah, I was up there for Pro Day. You know, they have a good draft class. Obviously, Abdul, I think, is expected to go top three, top four, maybe. Hopefully not the Cleveland, so we don't have to face him twice a year. I'm super happy for him. And then obviously Tyler, I mean, you know, he was a freshman when I was my last year there. And so we only got a half a season because it was COVID year together. So he's a great kid. You know, great guy, you know, loves football. I mean, he's no bullshit kind of guy. He has no social media and nothing like that. So, you know, I'm super excited for the opportunities they have. They got a couple good safeties, coming out as well. So it's a solid draft class for them. I think every year now, I think the Penn State's at a level of a program now where they're going to be churning out, you know, first, second, third round picks. And, you know, I'm excited to, you know, be a part of that.
I know Penn State was linebacker you, but it might be turning into tight end you right now, right?
Yeah, we've had a stretch. We've had a stretch starting with, you know, obviously with Jesse James and then, you know, Mike, myself, Brenton, Theo, and now Tyler. And they have a really good kid. He's actually from Pittsburgh, Khalil Dinkins.
Yeah.
He's like a true Y. He went to North Allegheny. He's a really good tight end. He'll probably get drafted as well next year. And they got a kid from Massachusetts by me, Luke Reynolds. He's going to be a redshirt freshman or a sophomore. He's a freaking stud. So, you know, they definitely got a line of tight ends coming.
Might be a quarterback in the draft next year too.
Yeah, stud.
That's again, I that has been mentioned by people, Pat, and I try to downplay it because I know if I upplay the idea of maybe you guys still being in the market for a quarterback a year from now, you know, maybe it's Aaron and he only plays a year or he plays two and you want to bring a rookie in to learn under him. You know, you could do worse than a Drew Aller at quarterback a year from now, if it were to go that way. But every time I bring that up, I'm just the dumb Penn State guy, and Mark makes fun of me. No. You could probably bring it up on a more professional level.
I'm just saying. He's still young. Like he's going to be a senior, but he's still, I think he's just turned 21. So he's still young. He's a competitor, man. Just being around him, like he holds guys accountable. He definitely has the traits where like similar, I'm not saying he's comparing to Ben. I'm just saying similar traits as in holding guys accountable and, you know, his ball placement. There's been a couple plays like that when I was back there watching for spring practice where, like, he threw a back shoulder. Like, he was placing the ball in great situations for the receiver to make a combat catch. So I'm excited. It's a big year for him. You know, I know talking to him, you know, the Notre Dame game left a sour taste in his mouth. So he's ready to go back at it again.
I wasn't going to bring up the Notre Dame game.
You can't have one bad game?
No, I'm just saying one bad throw.
Exactly. What's one bad throw? It's going to define a whole college career?
I don't know. Mac's getting a little upset.
Listen, I'm fine. Look, we had this conversation.
Mark, make me call Bert right now. Don't make me call Bert.
Oh, you know, there's another one. There's another one there. You think I make up stuff?
No, I'm just maybe the head
coach. Maybe the head coach said he was going to Georgia.
Mark, I'm just playing.
You guys love it. And you know, there's an off the wall question.
Yes.
Do you guys ever sit around in the cafeteria and talk about media members? Boy, this guy's a jerk. This guy's a fool. This guy's a piece of garbage. I like this guy, or you just ignore us like we're not there. There has to be some.
I always say hi to you guys.
Well, I'm just saying. Say you and Najee, you're talking like
Mark wants to know that you're thinking of him when he's not around. Pat.
We sit there and say, who would win the fight, Darnell Washington or Pat?
Darnell every time of the week. I'm not Darnell every time of the week. No, but I don't think.
You don't care about us. Okay.
No, I love you guys, but it's not like we're sitting around like saying, oh, this person sucks. But no, I mean, some guys have beef with individuals, but. That's just life.
It is what it is.
That's just life.
So what else is going on with Pat Freiermuth's offseason? Besides the trip to Ireland, everybody asking you 5 seconds about who your quarterback's going to be. You know, checking in with the guys up in State College as they get ready for the draft. What else?
Massive beard there.
Yeah, that's looking.
Yeah, my beard's growing out a little bit. Joe's been mad at me. She's begging me to shave it, but it's here to stay for a little bit. But anyways. Honestly, nothing. Just I've been back home in Boston with the family, you know, just hanging out with friends and friends and family. I just kind of like to stay low-key during the off-season, don't really do too much. I'll take me and Joe, like, going on, like, weekend trips to, like, different cities and stuff like that. So we're going to New York, going to a couple different places. So we good.
I know last year, Pat, to me at least, seemed in that locker room, you made a conscious effort to become a leader, or at least – portray yourself as a leader. Why did you do that? And is that your personality? Do you feel, or is that something you have to grow into?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely my personality. I mean, if you did any research, Mark, you're going to know that I was the youngest voted captain in Penn State football history as a true sophomore.
You said that word again, Penn State. I don't pay
attention. No, but it's definitely in my blood. You know, I definitely, the earlier in my years, I was feeling it out. Obviously, you know, we had Ben my rookie year, and then, you know, we drafted KP, so, like, obviously the quarterback's going to take the charge and stuff like that. So, you know, just being around, having the belief in the front office to, you know, give me the contract that I was able to stay, you know, 4 years and stuff like that, or however many long and stuff like that. So it's been cool to have the front office and Mr. Rooney's back and Coach T's have my back and stuff like that. So definitely been more vocal, you know, holding guys accountable more and stuff like that, and, you know, just organizing, you know, different events for the offense and stuff like that. So it's been cool. You know, it's always a learning process for me. But it every year brings a new challenge, but I'm excited for this year. And I think we have a lot of guys in the locker room that care, especially on the offensive side of the ball. can't say enough good things about, you know, Zach and Mason and the young offensive linemen, Troy and Broad. So, you know, they're working their tails off. And I think, you know, we got the ability to be really good this year. And I think, you know, I'm expecting a lot of big things from the offense.
You're going to have to step in between Darnell and Darius Slay in the locker room. They have to.
Yeah, that's the point. No, that was actually funny. Yeah, no, I hope not. I mean, I'm sure they're all good now. It's just competing. That was funny, though. That was funny.
With Darnell, he's a monster. I mean, I don't think people realize how big that guy is unless you stand right next to him.
Yeah, he's all a 6'9", for sure. And, I'm not going to put his weight out there, but he's
a big dude. Start with a 3?
Nah, he's a big dude.
He's big, and I would not want to be Darius Slay's size getting pushed up against the back wall behind the end zone.
The funniest is, like, and we'll probably laugh about it now, I hope, but the funniest is, like, Slay's trying to, like, punch him, and, like, Darnell has him locked out straight arm, but Slay's not, his arm reach isn't long enough, so he couldn't, like, punch him. It's hysterical.
It's like that thing you used to do to little brothers and cousins where you'd hold him by the forehead and just keep him at arm's length, and they would swing at you like this, and they couldn't touch you.
He was Mike Orr in Blindside. He was sending him home.
Yeah.
You could go home.
Absolutely.
All right, Pat, we don't want to keep you any longer, man. We appreciate you taking the time. Hopefully run into you tonight down at the arena for Big Night Out. We'll see you and Koontz down there. Kabali will be up in a box somewhere. I don't know. He'll be living large. You know
how living large.
Well, what's that supposed to mean, Mac?
You live the high life.
You live that, large.
Why you see, not everything's a fat joke, Mark.
Yeah, stop taking
everything so personally.
Yeah. I'm not, if I take it personally, come on. But Pat will be on stage, him and Koontz.
We'll see what happens. But it'll be a fun night. It'll be a fun night.
That podcast is booming for him, man.
I was just on it the other day. So
One of the funniest dudes you ever talked to, right there, Christian.
Yeah, Christian. He's through and through Yinzer, which is awesome. Oh, great.
The bloodline of Yinzer long snappers around the league is strong. Him and Adamitis and So they definitely lean into it. Pat, thanks again for the time, man.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Yeah,
enjoy you taking the time, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay. All right, we'll see you. Pat Freiermuth, Pittsburgh Steelers tight end, joining us here.
Even though he's a Penn State guy, right? I told you he's a great human, great ball player, and even a better human.
I know it to be a fact. I mean, here's the thing. Pat is one of those guys. He says that, you know, they don't pay a whole lot of attention to the guys in the media. But he knew enough to know that, and he never had to mention it, but he knew enough to know that I was the Penn State guy, right? Or one of the Penn State guys in local media.
Well, because you got a Penn State hat on.
Well, not right now. I'm talking about when I would be in the locker room back in the day. And he would always say hi, go out of his way to say hi, see how things were going. You know, for someone like me who isn't in there every day, like you're in there every day, that's a big deal. So,
I mean, I've heard from numerous people who work in the organization, you know, saying that there's probably not a better guy on the team than Pat.
No, super, super dude, super human, great tight end. It's going to be something. Like if it is, like you said, Metcalf, Pickens, Austin, that's a pretty strong 1-2-3 punch. And then you put a couple tight ends on the field at the same time, or just a couple of tight ends on the field at the same time as Metcalf and Pickens. And I got to think there's, like Pat said, a lot of lanes are going to open up underneath for him, regardless of who the quarterback is.
Is this how you do it on radio? We have to react to what Pat said.
No, I mean, that is how they do it on radio. I just think that's one of the most interesting things that jumped out to me.
I think him throwing it out there, not with us prodding him and saying, yeah, it'll be opening up the middle for me. It's like right there, I thought people were like, oh, he's finally saying it. The middle of the field. Oh,
I don't think it. Yeah, I don't think that's any grand revelation that they need to use the middle of the field more. Right.
But he threw that out there. So it's not
he recognizes the reality. He acknowledges the reality, just like he acknowledged the reality with Najee and said he didn't necessarily agree with everything he had to say, even though it's his best friend, you know? So, hey, that's why we wanted to have Pat on, because he's not only a good person, good player, super honest, I think, too, and had an honest assessment of what it would mean to have Rodgers in there as well. So We really appreciate him taking the time.
He's showing up at the big night out. Now that speculation is going to be crazy now.
Rampant.
Woo!
Like wildfire.
Big McAfee show guy in Pat, and you got the ultimate Yinzer coming out the Renegade, maybe, and Christian Kuntz. This is all set up now. I'm starting to believe. No, I have no idea.
No, you're, yeah. Now you're just trying to, but I mean,
maybe Shibuzi will be there.
Maybe. I don't know. You have no idea who's going to be. Maybe Gronk will be there. Right? Gronk was in town yesterday, right?
He was in town. People got really upset that I said Gronk went to high school here.
He did, though.
1 year, but
his senior year was Woody High. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember at the time thinking that I remember the Whippiel gave him a hard time, I think, about transferring in. And I don't think he was eligible for the first couple games, was he? And I just remember being a huge story at the time. Like, why is this kid from Western New York moving to Pittsburgh? And, you know, they have the G&G fitness locations. There's still a few of those around. And I guess that was their reasoning, or that was the link that they made.
Well, Woodland Hills at the time was an absolute juggernaut.
Yeah.
What did they win, like 150 straight games at the Wolverine? It was out of control.
It was peak of the Novak days, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much come back to reality right recently, but that was the place to be and the team to go. I remember seeing him play. I mean, I don't know if he caught the ball much, but he was just like Jesse James. I saw Jesse James in high school a lot. And he really didn't do much offensively, but he would back down 8 passes a game at South Allegheny.
Well, because he was easily a foot larger than everyone else on a team like South Allegheny, because the programs, is it single A now, maybe? It was double A.
It was always, but they were actually pretty good now. I mean, they've turned things around at the South Allegheny, so. But I think he was more of a defensive player star. And he was a good basketball player, if I recall. But I don't know. We're off the point here of
we're off the beaten path
of who's going to be at the big night at. We know at least two people, Christian Kuntz and Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, we do. Want to go back to the quarterback thing real quick before we wrap up. You don't see there's any way in the world that Dart gets to 21. No. You think there's going to be
a quarterback? I think Orlovsky even said that. Yesterday, a couple days ago, that he's a top 10 quarterback, pick in the draft.
So here's the thing: Mike Tannenbaum's been saying that for like a month.
That makes me
question. And that's exactly why I question it. That's exactly why I'm like, do I want to go with this? Do I really want to believe that Dart's off the board by 20?
Hey, let me tell you. Speaking of going back to quarterbacks with Roethlisberger, he was a big Freiermuth fan that. His rookie year, Freiermuth's rookie year. So he saw something in him right away as well. It's just a shame that he hasn't had the stability at quarterback to take that huge step where I think he can be a top 7-5 tight end in this league if you put around the right people.
The offensive coordinator, for that matter, to take advantage.
Well, the quarterback's huge.
Quarterback's huge, but then – when you have the quarterback OC combo that knows how to use the middle of the field, as we talked about, like that unlocks the whole thing. Real quick before we wrap up, you tweeted it in the middle of the show when you were distracted at one point. So I don't know, about 39 minutes ago. Steelers visitors today, Derek Harmon, defensive tackle from Oregon. And then a couple of running backs, Omarion Hampton from North Carolina,
and
Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State. You tell us all the time not to read into these visits. Should we read anything into these visits?
Well, I wouldn't say read into them. I mean, Derek Harmon would be an absolute perfect pick for them at 21. I don't know if he'll be there. He's the versatile defensive lineman from Oregon, and that's what you want at that position. So if say, Shedeur Sanders is there at 21, just for the heck of it, prove me wrong, and Derek Harmon there, I still think they go Derek Harmon.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Hampton, what, late first-ish?
I
depends.
I think the only reason he's sliding up that far into the top 15 is because you have multiple teams that need running backs, and he happens to be the second one on the board. Like, the only running back that, in my opinion anyway, is worthy of a top 20, 25 pick is Genty. Like, but the problem is, if Genty goes top 5, top 6, Well, now all of a sudden it opens the door to another team, i.e. the Cowboys, who are drafting in that 10 to 15 range, jumping on a running back because they desperately need one. And so it's not necessarily that Omarion Hampton is a 10 to 15 level talent. He's more like a, you know, late first round talent, in my opinion. It's because the team is there that has a glaring need, and it just happens to fit. I don't think it's that glaring a need for the Steelers, I guess, is my point. Like, do they need to add to Warren, Gainwell, Patterson? Yeah, I think they do.
I'm not.
But I don't need to do it in the first round.
I'm not sold Patterson's going to be here.
He may not be.
Last draft.
But I you could be. Again, same thing. You need to add to what you have. I'm just not using a first-round pick on it. I'll get a back in the third or fourth or maybe even later.
I mean, Harmon makes sense. I mean, they didn't go to Oregon. I don't know if he even did he even play in the Senior Bowl? I don't think so.
I don't know.
So the combine, you probably only had a couple minutes with him, so bring him in here. Because he's going to be anywhere between that 15 and 21 range, I think. So I think you can read something into that, but you got to be pretty much prepared for anybody at that spot where they might have did their mock draft or their mock picks right now, where these guys could fall in this range. We better be. The last thing you want to do is draft day is get a call from somebody and say, hey, you want to move up or back and you want this guy. I was like, oh, we don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
I'm not too very comfortable with this.
You don't want to be Kevin Costner in draft day.
No, you don't want to do that. So you have to do your absolute due diligence on everybody. I mean, I don't know if you do it on Cam Ward, right?
That's probably not necessary.
But is it? Bo Callahan was, right?
Right.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's not a good movie, but it is the perfect in-flight movie. For that reason.
You know which movie I watched in flight one time? That really weird one with Lady Gaga and...
A Star is Born.
Yeah, I've watched it.
My wife literally has a problem with that movie in that every time we fly somewhere, she watches it. That's like the movie that's like her in-flight movie every single time. But that's the only time she watches it. She doesn't watch it on Netflix. She doesn't watch it at home. The only time she watches A Star is Born is when we're on a plane. Which is once or twice a year, right? But she has to watch it.
Yeah. The bad thing now is some of those planes, you have to watch it on your phone. It's
like, I don't totally
hate that. Put it on the darn back of the seat.
Is that too much trouble for you to, like, prop your
phone? Yeah, because 90% the other day when I come back from West Palm Beach, the damn internet wasn't connecting. So I'm just looking at my phone the whole time. Like, I was like David Putty from Seinfeld.
Raw dog in the flight.
I have nothing else to do.
Yeah, that's fair.
My internet would connect.
Do we want to give any more hints about who the guest is on Friday? Anything? Anything at all?
Well, he had an affiliation with the Steelers, right?
Yeah.
He should know his familial
affiliation with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he himself had a personal affiliation with the Steelers. Does that give it away?
Well, he probably just did, but we'll see.
I don't think so.
We got to get Relaxed Styles to update our intro now with the big.
We do. Pat Freiermuth shoots to the top of the charts as far
as. Who are we knocking off? Piv?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
Piv gets on there.
Thanks again to everybody for joining us. Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC as well. Impact HVAC PGH. It's still cold out in the mornings, so maybe the furnace went kaput and you need it looked at. Maybe you want to get ahead of things for spring and summer. Call 412-297-1852. They'll come out. They'll do a spring, early summer AC tune-up / check. Make sure it's ready to go. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Tony, Sunshine, and all the guys will take care of you at Impact. Sunshine was great.
Sunshine!
We will be back on Friday we'll have the big night out to talk about, to break down whatever news may come out of that. Who knows? The Rodgers rumors will persist, like I said, until about 11:30 tonight when everybody is leaving the arena and it still hasn't happened.
I got the info of the update here. Hold on.
Wait, the info of what update?
Play with me here for a second.
You are so bad at multitasking.
The show is from 8 to 10 Doors open at 6:30.
Okay. Set
time subject to change.
Sure.
And cashless concessions. But
did you just basically read a generic email from PPG Paints Arena?
I don't know. The wife sent it to me. I don't know.
Okay.
The doors open at 6:30. The show's 8 to 10. I doubt if it's going to be only 8 to 10, but
you never know.
Now you know.
Now you know. If we don't see Yins down there, I don't know if I'll be able to make it or not. We'll
all
see.
All the boys are hanging around. They were at the park game last night, the Penguin game last night.
They were. I saw that.
Taking walks around the city.
Penguins fans were freaking out for a second because Mike Sullivan didn't do the post-game press conference because he had a meeting. And
Rogers was
and everybody thought, like, oh my god, are they this would be weird. They just won 5-0. The season's almost over. They're not gonna fire Sullivan now, are they? I think all it turns out is maybe Pat and the boys were in the back. They met Malkin. I imagine they met Sid. Maybe they met Sully as well. So
Nick is there, huh? Frankie Sticks, were they going?
I would imagine Nick was there as well. Yeah. So
I know Nick was at the game. He said the hell with the Pirates, so he's a smart man.
Here's to everybody finding their bucko bricks someday. Here's to all of you for joining us. Thanks to the Dan Heck team as well. Buying or selling a home in Western PA, heckteamhomes.com, HAECK. And we will do it again on Friday with another special mystery guest. Enjoy your big night, and we'll talk to you on Friday. This has been another rousing edition. Thanks again to Pat Freiermuth. He was awesome. Of Kabali and Matt. See you later. Bye.